One of the challenge is that I explained that the calcium is necessary for a phosphorus deposition into bone. So we need both mineral, but they can also form complex in the GI tract. And these complex will preclude the absorption of phosphorus and calcium. So we need calcium for the bone, but if we have too much calcium in the diet, we will reduce the phosphorus absorption. So we really have to find the good balance, especially in a growing animal where we don't want necessarily to maximize the bone mineralization.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. AB Vista, new nutritional perspectives and novel enzyme applications to drive pig production.
Hi-D from DSM Firmenich can improve your pig's vitamin D status. Hi-D offers pure, proven performance to help your pigs thrive.
Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way.
Market growth. We're building a bigger appetite for pork. Learn more at porkcheckoff.org.
AccuFast. The best way to predict the future is to create it. Start creating your future today at AccuFastSwine.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Swine It podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host today, and I have as my guest Marie-Pierre Letourneau. Marie-Pierre is a professor of animal science at Laval University in Quebec, Canada. Marie-Pierre's research focus is on providing sustainable animal protein by optimization of phosphorus and nitrogen in pig and poultry diets through animal trials, meta-analysis, and modeling, with a goal to formulate eco-friendly, healthy, and low-cost diets. So today we're going to be discussing the dynamics of bone mineralization. So Marie-Pierre, it's great to have you on our show. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and your career path.
Thank you. So hello, everyone. So I'm a professor in Quebec City in the east of Canada, in the French part of Canada. So I did my baccalaureate here in Laval. Then I moved to France to work on phosphorus. And I did the master and PhD in France, working first on pigs and all the phosphorus nutrition with the objective of reducing the excretion and all the problem that was related to phosphorus, such as eutrophication. And then during the PhD, I add the broilers also. So I compare pig and broilers still related to phosphorus and calcium and also their interaction with phytates. And I came back to Canada to work as a professor.
Okay, great. Great. Well, I'm sure they're glad to have you back. And thank you for joining us. So let's jump into our discussion on the dynamics of bone mineralization. And so this isn't an area certainly that I've spent a lot of time being involved in. So let's start with kind of the basics. So start us off and give us a bit of a background on understanding that process.
Yeah, so bone is a living tissue, so it will be really active along the life of the animal. So first, it will grow until the peak of bone mass. But during all these processes, there will be turnover in the tissue. And the turnover are done by the two bone cells, the osteoblast that will deposit the mineral matrix and the osteoclast that will resorb the bone. The bone is mainly formed of calcium and phosphorus, and they form the hydroxyapatite, that it's a molecule that has a ratio close to 2.2 of calcium to phosphorus. So there is a tight link between these two minerals. Calcium cannot be deposited without phosphorus, and it's the same for phosphorus. So the equilibrium is really important. So, and it means that we have to absorb the best quantity, and the remaining part that cannot be deposited in the bone will be excreted in the urine. So as I said, the bone will grow all the life of the growing pigs. It will still grow when we slaughter the animal. And when we look at the female, until easily the first parity, there is still a bone growth. So it's an important point to consider. So the animal needs phosphorus and calcium for bone growth, but there is also a large part of phosphorus, close to 30%, that is found in muscle. So phosphorus is also important for muscle, but calcium is about 99% in the bone.
An animal nutrition technology company offering innovative products and new applications for the swine industry. The combination of AB Vista enzymes, technical services, and nutrition expertise provides the industry with new opportunities to further improve production efficiencies. Fiber is receiving renewed interest due to its influence on the microbiome, and AB Vista has brought together research experts to discuss the industry's knowledge of fiber functionality and to introduce a stimbiotic targeted to improve fiber digestion. To request access, contact NAM at abvista.com. That's NAM at abvista.com.
Okay, so tell me about then, you mentioned that the bone is still being formed, as a young animal up into slaughter. And so even our gilts that are coming into our sow farms, right, would still be growing and maturing. So tell me how, is there a way to measure that? I know that's an area that we all want to do is improve the longevity, right, of our gilt. So are you working in that area? And do you have any measures of how do we know if she's getting the right amount?
Yeah. One of the complexity of phosphorus and calcium, if we compare with protein, for example, is that the growth performance is not a really good indicator. So if we are in acute deficiency, we will see an impact on the growth. But we can have more or less mineralized bone and with the same body weight. So the tools that we have to follow the dynamic or to have an idea of the bone mineral content is, well, the first one is to slaughter the animal and take a representative bone. So this has been done a lot by the past, especially in sows. There is also some, when I have explained the osteoblast and osteoclast activity, when the bone is formed and resorbed, there is some molecule that are that can be found in the blood that represent this activity. So there is a bone resorption and formation marker that we can use. We have to be really careful because there's a lot of variability. There is some diurnal variation and they are quite expensive, but we can use these tools also. And there is interesting results in the literature, especially if we follow the same animal over time to see the different phase of bone resorption and formation. And another tool that is really useful, that is used a lot in human, it's the dual X-ray absorptiometry that, in fact, it will evaluate the mass of the animal and it will divide the total mass in lean, fat, and bone mineral content. It's really precise for bone mineral content. It's used for osteoporosis diagnosis in human. So, in fact, we use the same. And we have different mode. We have the small animal where we can scan a rat. It's used a lot in research with rat as a model for human. And we can scan the pigs. So we anesthetize the animal and it takes about 10 minutes to scan the overall body. So with that, we have the bone mineral content. So all the mineral that are contained in bone. And in our study, we follow the same animal. So we can have the lean gain and versus the bone gain. I have also a colleague in Switzerland that has developed this technology for sows, pregnant and lactating. The challenge is that the device has a maximum weight that it can take. So they have designed a kind of lift where they can put the sows to not put too much of weight on the table and on the scan. So with that, we are able to follow the bone mineral dynamics even in South. So this is really interesting, and it helps a lot to understand the dynamic, because as I said, these animals are a growing animal, but quickly over parity tree, the bone stopped to grow, and it even resorb more than it forms. So it's really important to understand all these dynamic to assess precisely the requirements of the animal.
Yeah, very interesting. And I think, you know, it's hard to study sows and in the sense of it takes a lot of time, right? If you have to wait till they get to parity six to really measure that. And so that's kind of a long study. So, you know, doing the best you can, and I'm sure those studies are expensive. If you think about, just the cost of housing of a sow versus a model, right? Like a rat or a mouse. So tell me about, you know, you're utilizing some research projects to try to understand, you know, the right balance. And so tell us a little bit about maybe some research you have going on right now, or, you know, something that's coming up for us that's, you know, going to be applicable in this area.
I'm working on evaluating the phosphorus requirement, especially in swine and poultry. As I said, there is part of phosphorus that goes in the muscle. So it follows the lean gain, and there is a part that is in the bone. So we try by modeling, mechanistic modeling, to quantify the amount we need for the bone, we need for the growth, and the sum of these amounts is the requirement, is in fact what we have to absorb. So we work on evaluating the body composition over time, understanding all these allometry between the lean gain and the bone gain that change between genetic and change also with feeding. So we try to integrate all these in a mechanistic model to be able to predict the requirement. One of the challenge is that I explained that the calcium is necessary for a phosphorus deposition into bone. So we need both mineral, but they can also form complex in the GI tract. And these complex will preclude the absorption of phosphorus and calcium. So we need calcium for the bone, but if we have too much calcium in the diet, we will reduce the phosphorus absorption. So we really have to find the good balance. Especially in a growing animal where we don't want necessarily to maximize the bone mineralization. So we want to optimize it and to optimize growth. So I'm also working on this interaction to see at which level we can expect no negative effect of calcium on the phosphorus utilization, because if there is complex that are formed, the phosphorus will be excreted. So we will lose all the phosphorus in the feces or the urine. So this tight balance, I work on that. And the phytase that liberate both calcium and phosphorus, it's also another component that we have to consider, because the phosphorus is in the form of phytate, and this form interact with calcium. So I'm working also to understand better and to quantify the effect to be able to formulate the accurate diet thereafter.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, because I had, you know, what is phytase in all of this process? So yeah, no, thank you for that. So tell me, is there a way then that do you think in the future there will be, you know, through the blood or urine or feces to measure, you know, to do some on-farm measurements of this type of process, you know, to measure like the healthiness of a sow herd, for instance?
Yeah. Regarding the blood, as I said, there is the bone marker. Calcium is tightly regulated in the blood. So it's not a good indicator, because if it will not be low, because the animal will manage to keep it fixed. Phosphorus will vary a little more. So sometimes the ratio between calcium and phosphorus can be interesting to look at. And because of this tight regulation, In fact, the animal is able to improve the absorption, reabsorb the mineral in the kidney. So the kidney is an interesting organ in the calcium and phosphorus status. And I think the easiest tool is the urine, because, as I said, we need the accurate ratio to deposit calcium and phosphorus in the bone, but it's really difficult to reach this. So there, if we can look at the ratio in the urine and know if calcium is has been supplied over the phosphorus needed. So the ratio between calcium and phosphorus is really informative of the balance for bone. So it can help to, for example, if we cannot measure any calcium in the urine, it means that we don't have enough. So as the level can be interesting, but especially the ratio. And the ratio is quite easy to do. We just have to take a spot sample of urine and analyze calcium and phosphorus. So we are working on developing tools to better assess the what mean the ratio. The group in University of Wisconsin have already looked at that. Especially they have looked at the phosphorus requirement. So they have increased the phosphorus, and when the phosphorus goes in the urine, they consider that they reach the bone maximum retention. So yeah, the urine is really interesting and cheap tool to implement in the field. Because the other, as I said, the growth performance is not a good indicator. So this one can be interesting.
Yeah, I think as we, you know, develop more biomarkers, so to speak, in terms of, you know, the healthcare from both humans and animals, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what on-farm tools that we, you know, start to adapt that help us make those decisions on formulation. And as a veterinarian, you know, if there's an issue, you know, you have a multifactorial, it's, you know, it's nutrition and diet and bone, or, you know, is it genetics, et cetera. So that's, it's going to be fun to see that progress.
Yeah. And I can also mention the vitamin D metabolites in the blood that can also be interesting. The level of, for example, the 25-OH, that is the substrate of the 125, that is the active form, sometimes can be interesting to correlate again with phosphorus and calcium level. But there is no target value, but we can see if the value are really low, or the ratio with phosphorus, for example, can be interesting. So I think these tools can be developed.
Meet AccuFast, your trusted partner in raising efficient, healthy, and sustainable pork. We're not just about genetics, we're about tailored solutions that set you on your path to success, no matter how you define it. At AccuFast, we channel our investments into three crucial pillars: our genetic offering, proprietary technology platform, and leading commercial measurement system, ensuring tangible results for our partners. Visit our website at AccuFastSwine.com or reach out to an AccuFast customer success rep to discuss how we can help you create the future you've been working towards. AccuFast, the best way to predict the future is to create it.
Yeah, very good. So tell me a little bit about, that's interesting you brought up kind of vitamin D, because I remember, you know, we had gone through a period where young piglets, you know, we were concerned about the viability and, you know, the performance early in the nursery. And we talked a lot about measuring vitamin D and vitamin E, honestly. So, you know, is there any work being done in your area on that? Or
there is, in general, as I said, the calcium is regulated. So the animal is able to sensitize the 125. So it's difficult to see a clear effect of vitamin D in an animal that is already at the requirement. So when there is deficiency, or what we have seen the most impactful on vitamin D, it's the immunomodulation. So during heat stress, the 25-OH will reduce during in sick animal. We have really interesting results with the PRRS because of the immunomodulatory effect of vitamin D. Yes, there is a link with calcium and phosphorus, but I think it's more in period of challenge. So, for example, we are looking at extending the laying cycle. So the laying hen probably will enter in osteoporosis. And in that situation, vitamin D can be really interesting. So during the growth, it's not easy to implement strategy, but definitively during challenge or during period of high demand, we need more study. There is not that much on vitamin D, and vitamin E is again more related to immunomodulation.
Yep, exactly. Well, great. So, tell me a little bit about, do you have graduate students that are working with you, and tell me a little bit about your position at the university.
I have a Canada research chair on sustainable animal protein production. So this means that I'm mostly doing research. So I have a lot of students. Because of my PhD abroad, I have collaboration still with France. And also because of the modeling approach, we need data and we need expertise on the fluxes and how to stimulate. And so I have a lot of collaboration also with other group. So I'm trying to have student that moves and do dual degree. So I have student that do it with Brazil, with France, with Switzerland. So I have about 10 PhD, but they are not always here in Canada. So for example, for the South, I have one student in Switzerland. I have some student in the poultry facility in France. So they do some trial in Canada and trial abroad. So and I think it's really interesting for them. It's a challenge, but it's a good opportunity to...
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great. I wasn't aware of that. So I have a bit of a passion for continuing to get young people to come into, our area of study into animal agriculture. And so very, very cool that you have, multiple universities and students across different countries. And that's really, I think, how we learn the best is a different approach and a much wider network of research. So very great. Great. Well, we're rounding out our time today and discussion. Are there some final thoughts or take homes from today's discussion that you want to challenge our audience with, or want them to stay tuned for something exciting coming out of your group?
Another area where we work still, because calcium is tightly regulated, as I said, the animal will adapt to low diet, so we try to implement imprinting strategy, so reducing the mineral during some part, what we call a depletion, and this makes the animal more efficient thereafter to utilize the phosphorus especially. So we have done a lot of work in growing pigs on that aspect, and we continue on broilers, especially during the starter phase. Possible to reduce and make them more efficient after and have a better mineralization in the end. So we are working on that aspect to optimize the phosphorus, reduce the use of phosphate that is a non-renewable resource.
Absolutely. And that fits into the sustainability process, right, of producing, as I mentioned in my introduction, an eco-friendly and low-cost way to produce protein.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Trow Nutrition North America, everything we do is driven by passion and backed by science.
Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers.
Healthy Farms by Bioverse, your manure management experts.
Market growth. The Pork Checkoff is building a bigger appetite for pork. Today's marketing efforts are not just about selling more pork, but creating long-term demand. The National Pork Board is finding new ways to reach and engage with multicultural consumers and younger generations by leading with taste and flavor. Visit porkcheckoff.org to learn more about building a bigger appetite for pork.
Very good. Well, Marie-Pierre, a trademark of our show is to ask our guest a few thought-provoking questions as, you know, our final end to get to know you a little bit better and just to expand, you know, our knowledge base a bit. So I have the three questions, and the first one is, what's a book or resource that you use in your area of expertise? So what's kind of a go-to that, you know, is your resource? And this could be a book or it could be a resource like a website or a conference, anything.
Yeah. I would say the NRC 2012, and I'm on the committee that's updating this book. So I'm really active in reviewing and reading this book for the moment. So that is a good reference.
Yeah. And that's kind of the go-to, right, for the NRC. And then, you know, there's a bunch beyond that. But even as a veterinarian, I'm familiar with the NRC and what it takes to rewrite it or to update it. So that's a lot of detail. So how about a book or resource not related to animal nutrition that, you know, you've read recently or we should check out something out of the realm of our careers?
I like thriller book, like some French author from Jean-Christophe Granger, and this one that has done a lot of historical thriller. So I like this book to change my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. To kind of think outside the box a little bit and just enjoy something different, right, than calcium phosphorus. Great. Great. So, and you mentor a lot of students, and so this will be fun to hear what you have to say. But share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets professionals apart from others. So, what are you looking for a characteristic?
I think the first one, especially for a PhD, it's the passion of agriculture and the curiosity, because it's not an easy task doing the PhD, so they will have to take a lot of hour and put a lot of time on that. So, and when they are passionate, it's easy. I found so I'm trying to have them. I'm choosing them like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you have a passion, you're not going, you know, you're self-directed, right? And if you have students from all over different countries, you know, not right with you every day, you know, in your lab, you definitely have to have, you know, self-directed students. And so that passion brings them, you know, to want to learn and want to do more. Yeah. So very good. Well, great. Thank you so much for being with us today. If guests out there, if you have questions or comments, please send those on your platform. If you liked our discussion today, give us a thumbs up. And thanks again. This was great to learn a little bit and dig a little bit into bone and calcium and phosphorus.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.